Chapter 4. Seeing Spirits.
Me and my brother Willie came to Colorado in 1889, Cornelius began. It was getting harder and harder to find work in Liverpool, and me pa was ill at the time.
Liverpool, Fiona thought. That explained the strong British accent.
Cornelius looked off into the distance, rubbing his hand over the neatly trimmed patch of hair on his chin.
We'd grown up hearing all about men striking it rich in Colorado, you see. So we took all we had and came to America with the idea that we'd make our way west.
You came to Colorado in 1889? Fiona racked her brain to dredge up her knowledge of Colorado history she'd retained from high school.
The Colorado Gold Rush had peaked in 1859 and petered out by 1870. But she knew that gold camps had sprung up in other parts of the state in the last decade of the 19th century.
It was a right pain in the ass getting here, too. I came down with typhoid fever. Filthy shit that it was. It took us a spell to scrape together the rest of what we needed to take the train all the way to Colorado. We worked in a slaughterhouse near Denver for a while. Right nasty work that was. Then riding out at a pub, we were having a couple with some Yanks who said they was headed up to Cripple Creek. They'd heard the mountain was filled with gold, and would we like to join up with them? Well, of course, Willie and I said yes.
How did you meet Loretta? Fiona asked. A smile crossed Cornelius's face, a real smile that seemed to light up his eyes from within.
The Yanks was right about one thing. Cripple Creek was having a heyday. Every boarding house in that sorry house lean-to was plumb full, it was. Me and me brother, we needed a place to stay, right? So I went over to Loretta's place and asked if she had a spare bed for the night. She said she was full up, and I said we was tired from the trip. Wouldn't mind keeping with the pigs.
Well, as it turned out, she didn't have any pigs, though if she had, I reckon we'd have not minded smelling like shite as tired as we was. But Loretta, she leads us out to the stables.
He laughed. Nothing but hay to keep us warm.
So Loretta ran a boarding house in Cripple Creek? Fiona asked.
She hadn't known that.
Cornelius nodded.
Her and her brother. She was a widow, mind. Had a sweet little baby girl barely walking at the time.
That must have been her great-grandmother, Fiona thought.
Her brother, he made a claim early on in Idaho Springs. A small one, mind, but enough to build a boarding house with. Then they moved on to Cripple Creek and built a boarding house there. I got to know Loretta pretty well. Keeping with the ladies' horses will do that, mind. She was a right awful cook, but she was a kind soul. And let me tell you, when there's gold to be found, it can tarnish even a God-fearing man's heart. Not Loretta's, though. I got it in me head that I'd ask her to marry me if I could make some of meself. Thought I might make some of meself, too. But one day, things went to shite.
At this point, Fiona was sitting on the floor with her back to the wall, riveted by Cornelius's story.
What happened?
There was an accident in the mine we was working. Killed two of the lads. Me and Willie got out all right, but Loretta's brother...
He shook his head.
He was in right bad shape, he was. I brought him back, thinking Loretta could at least say her goodbyes. And then the strangest thing happened.
Fiona leaned forward, and Cornelius's voice became solemn.
She put her hands on his chest like this, and I swear on me mum's life, I saw his soul come back into his body.
Fiona's heart thudded louder. So Loretta had been an ether witch, just like her. Fiona had never healed anyone like that, but she supposed it was possible.
She saved her brother?
Cornelius shook his head.
Nah, he was too far gone. Died of his injuries a few days later. But from that day on, I knew she was an angel walking on earth.
He gave a sigh.
Lord, I never seen a woman bleed herself dry like that. Thought Loretta might die too, for as hard as she was trying to save him.
After that, she was on her lonesome. And a prospect in town ain't no place for a lady on her own, unless she's a whore.
Fiona bristled at the word, but then she realized Cornelius must be talking about actual prostitutes.
I kept an eye out for her after that. Some of the men who came through that house were nasty, but Loretta didn't have much trouble sorting them out herself.
Fiona raised an eyebrow. A witch wouldn't, she thought.
But then one night, I woke up to the most god-awful noise in the world. I heard horses approaching, but the sound the riders were making.
Cornelius's eyes went wide.
At that point, me and Willie was kipping on the floor at night. It was warm and didn't smell like shite for one thing. But Willie had gone off to the pub and hadn't been back.
I roused myself to go look for him. Cornelius shook his head.
You wouldn't believe the screaming.
What was it? Fiona asked.
He shuddered.
It had to be the most god-awful sight I'd ever seen in me life. men on horseback, only they weren't mortal men. They had to be possessed by the devil. They was slaughtering folks left and right. You wouldn't believe their strength. But it wasn't the weirdest bit. Fiona leaned forward. You won't believe this, but they was drinking their blood.
They were vampires? Cornelius nodded.
Loretta told me later what they were, but that night I thought they must have been Lucifer's army itself.
I started running to get Willie, but it was already too late.
Cornelius's voice became husky, and Fiona was startled to see he had tears in his eyes.
They hit the pub first. Didn't leave a soul.
Cornelius sniffed and wiped his nose with the back of his hand. Somehow I got Willie out of there. I don't know what I was thinking. Loretta found me, thank God. She dragged me back to her house and told me to stay inside no matter what. Of course I wouldn't listen, but she sealed the door, barricaded it or something, because I couldn't get out.
A dark look came over him.
I heard her talking to him outside. The vampires, I mean. She told him to take her and leave me, that she'd come quietly. Of course I knew she was protecting her little girl as well as me, but I'll never forget it.
A haunted look passed over his face.
I heard him drag her away.
She knew they would want her more than you, said Fiona. Witch's blood is more potent than immortals.
Cornelius nodded. He looked shaken, as though he'd watched the vampires drag Loretta away the day before, not more than a century prior.
I never thought I'd see her again. Didn't for a couple of years. I thought she was dead. Her little girl went off to live with family. I would have taken care of her myself, but they came and took her.
He sniffed.
Then came the mine strike, so I decided to leave. I made a bit of money, but not a fortune. Then I got word that my pa had passed and me mum a few months after that. I couldn't go back, not without Willie. There was nothing left for me there. So I moved on, bounced around for a while before I came across Mountain Shadow. They'd opened a sanatorium here and needed workers. I first came to the boarding house I could find. I came to the first boarding house I could find, and who do you think was working there?
Loretta?
He nodded, a broad smile spreading across his face.
I thought I must have been seeing things, or else I'd died and gone to heaven. But there she was, pretty as ever, but different, I could tell. She never did talk about what happened that night, except that those vampires were pure evil, and that they'd be back for her some day.
He smiled, faltered.
I could never repay her for what she did. She was still paying the price up till the day she died. Then one day, she comes to me and she says, "Are you ever going to ask me to marry you?" Well, I about fell over in me chair. I says, "I'm not fit to clean your boots, woman, let alone ask you to be my wife." She said, "Cornelius, you fool, course I'll marry you."
His smile faltered.
I didn't have a ring or anything yet, and I wanted to ask her properly.
Just then, Fiona heard a loud knock. Cornelius broke off, and Fiona was so wrapped up in the story that it took her a moment to remember where she was. The knock was coming from the front door. Thinking it might be the realtor, she got to her feet. "Let me just see who that is," she said, stepping down onto the stairs. Part of her feared that Cornelius would disappear if she turned her back, but she scurried down to the foyer to see who was at the door. To her surprise, Cornelius followed, lingering at the end of the hallway. She turned to look over her shoulder, concerned what the realtor would say if she saw a gold prospector from the 1800s standing there. But after the strange noises upstairs earlier, Fiona was fairly certain that there was nothing more she could do to spook the woman. It wasn't the realtor anyway. It was her old friend from high school, Bellamy Broussard. Well, maybe friend wasn't the right word. Bellamy was a witch, and the two of them had run in the same circle. Bellamy was tall and extremely good-looking, and had a flair for the dramatic. He wore his jet-black hair artfully styled to look as though he'd been caught in a windstorm. He was dressed in a pair of navy slacks and a loud paisley button-down shirt. Fiona remembered that he'd been the assistant innkeeper at the Wind Chime Inn down the street, and she wondered if he still worked there.
"Betch!" Bellamy exclaimed, pushing past Fiona and striding into the foyer without waiting for an invitation. "Why didn't you tell me you were back?"
Fiona struggled to find an excuse. It hadn't even occurred to her to contact Bellamy. The two of them had been friendly, if not actual friends, but they'd hardly spoken since high school. Besides that, Bellamy had always been the prickly sort. She never really knew if she enjoyed spending time with him or not.
"You're embarrassed?" Bellamy wrinkled his nose.
"Don't be. People will understand why you had to move back with your parents dying and all." Fiona didn't know why, but she found Bellamy's bluntness oddly refreshing.
At least she didn't have to squirm under the sympathetic gaze of someone who felt sorry for her. Bellamy never felt sorry for anyone. "I'm not back," Fiona clarified. "I just came back to deal with the house and all my parents' stuff." Bellamy frowned. "That's not what I heard. What did you hear?" "Margie told B she saw you at the diner. Said you broke up with your boyfriend." Fiona sighed. Beatrix was working toward her master's degree, and she picked up shifts at the Rusty Spoon to support herself and her grandmother. Margie was the server who'd waited on Fiona at lunch, and she probably remembered seeing Bea and Fiona together from their high school days. This was why she had no desire to move back to Mountain Shadow. Word traveled fast. "Oh, well, that was unrelated." Fiona shifted from one foot to the other, very aware of Cornelia standing at the other end of the hallway, listening to their conversation. "So you aren't moving back?"
"No," said Fiona.
"But you're selling the house."
"No, she isn't," Cornelius broke in, just as Fiona said yes.
She glanced at Cornelius, but Bellamy ignored him. She felt a stab of guilt.
"Well, probably. I don't know yet."
Bellamy narrowed his eyes at her.
"Eleanor doesn't want to sell," Fiona explained.
"I don't really want to either, but I can't see keeping this place."
"So you don't know if you're back?"
"I'm not back," Fiona groaned.
"Well, you can't sell this house," said Cornelius. "It's not up to you," Fiona snapped in exasperation, not turning to look at him.
"I'm not trying to pressure you," Bellamy exclaimed, throwing up his hands.
"I just heard you were back."
Fiona cocked her head to the side and frowned. Bellamy hadn't said a word about Cornelius. He hadn't so much as glanced in his direction since he'd stormed into her house. That wasn't like Bellamy. Bellamy was Mountain Shadow's biggest busybody. He had to know who everyone was. Fiona turned to Cornelius. "Why can't I sell the house?"
"I didn't say you couldn't sell," Bellamy mumbled.
"The house must stay in the family."
Cornelius's expression grew serious. "I promised Loretta it would." Fiona narrowed her eyes at him.
"Why?"
"Why what?" Bellamy spluttered, clearly annoyed and confused. "Who are you talking to?" Fiona turned to him.
"You can't see him?"
Bellamy bugged out his eyes.
"See who?"
Fiona turned her head back and forth, gesturing at Cornelius. "You can't see the guy in suspenders standing right there?" Bellamy squinched his face.
"Are you having, like, a nervous breakdown or something?"
Fiona opened her mouth to say something rude, but then the front door opened again and Eleanor stuck her head in. Her eyes darted from Fiona to Bellamy.
"What are you doing here?"
She didn't bother to hide her disdain. Bellamy and Eleanor had been at each other's throats ever since Fiona could remember.
"I came by because I heard Fiona was back."
Eleanor raised her eyebrows hopefully. "Are you?"
"No,"
Fiona spluttered.
"Who's that?"
Eleanor asked, pointing at Cornelius.
"You can see him too?"
"See who?" Bellamy cried. "If this is a prank, I am not participating."
"Cornelius,"
said Fiona. Eleanor's gaze bounced from Fiona to Cornelius and then to Bellamy and back to Cornelius.
"Wait, you can see him, but Bellamy can't?"
"You can really see him?" Fiona asked her sister. Eleanor nodded, wide-eyed. Fiona turned to address Cornelius.
"What are you?"
"I..." He let out a heavy breath, looking up at her through reddish-gold lashes.
"I told you it was right unusual."
Fiona narrowed her eyes at him as understanding dawned on her.
"You're a ghost."
"I prefer the term spirit if it's all right with you."
"I didn't know you could see dead people," said Eleanor.
"I don't. Usually." Fiona turned back to her sister.
"Wait, you can see ghosts?"
"Spirit,"
Cornelius interjected. Eleanor shrugged one shoulder. "It's kind of a new thing." Fiona shook her head, simultaneously confused and a little hurt. Growing up, her sister had never shown even the faintest trace of supernatural powers. She'd certainly never indicated that she could see ghosts.
"Have you..."
Fiona lowered her voice, wishing they could have this conversation in private. "Have you noticed any other new... developments?" Eleanor shrugged. "I think I managed to cool down my dorm by a couple of degrees, and I might have started a small fire at a house party last weekend."
"Elle, why didn't you say something? You had enough on your plate. I didn't want to bother you with this."
"It wouldn't have bothered me," Fiona spluttered. On the contrary, she was secretly thrilled. She'd always felt a little guilty, being the only sister to inherit the witch gene, especially since that meant extra time spent one-on-one with their parents, learning how to control her abilities. She'd always tried to downplay her powers to Eleanor, so Eleanor wouldn't feel left out. Apparently, her supernatural abilities had just been lying dormant.
"So now you're a witch?" Bellamy interjected, looking put out and a tad concerned.
When they were in high school, Eleanor had always wanted to tag along. Bellamy wasn't exactly nice when he'd tell Eleanor to go find friends her own age, and when she'd gotten a little older, Eleanor had found her own special ways to torment Bellamy. When he'd gotten the job at the Windchime Inn, Eleanor used to prank call the B&B, pretending to be a disgruntled guest. Fiona was sure that Bellamy was thinking of all the new ways Elle could torture him now that she had magical powers.
"I guess so," Eleanor shrugged. "I've been seeing spirits a lot lately."
She glanced at Cornelius and back at Fiona.
"It's pretty disturbing, actually."
"When did this start?"
"Just after Mom and Dad..."
She broke off.
"Does that mean..."
Eleanor shook her head.
"No, I haven't seen them. I guess that means they're at peace."
Fiona let out a breath of relief. Generally speaking, spirits only hung around the Earthen Realm if they had unfinished business or if their deaths had been particularly violent or traumatic. If Eleanor hadn't seen their parents, it likely meant that their spirits were at rest, and that Cornelius's wasn't.
"Why are you here?" she asked Cornelius.
"I have a debt to repay."
Bellamy bugged out his eyes in irritation, staring at a spot a few feet to Cornelius's left.
"Well, what did he say?"
"Says he has a debt to repay." Fiona looked at Eleanor. "He was married to our great-great-grandmother, Loretta."
"I never said I married her," Cornelius interjected.
"I said I asked. Gave her that ring, as a matter of fact."
He pointed at the ring that Fiona was still wearing. She looked down at the stone and back at Cornelius and felt a sudden flash of understanding. Cornelius had appeared just after she'd found it. Was it possible that he was haunting the ring? Fiona wiggled it off her finger, and Cornelius disappeared.
"He's gone," she murmured, turning to her sister.
"I can still see him," said Eleanor. So it was the ring. Fiona slipped it back on her finger, and Cornelius reappeared exactly where he'd been. The ring didn't make him come and go. It just allowed her to see him.
"Why is it that I can only see you when I have this ring on?" she asked.
Cornelius cracked a smirk.
"I expect it's got something to do with Loretta's magic."
Fiona frowned down at the jet-black stone. She'd never known a witch who could sequester ether in an inanimate object, but maybe Loretta had found a way.
"We were fixing to be married when I got myself killed."
Fiona sucked in a breath.
"How did you die?"
A dark look flashed through Cornelius's eyes, and the grin slipped from his face.
"I ran into a vampire on the road. Wasn't so lucky this time."
"Was it one of the vampires from before?"
"Vampires?" Bellamy cried. Cornelius shook his head.
"This one called himself Festus."
"That must be why you came back," said Eleanor. "You left things on Earth unresolved."
"No, I didn't," said Cornelius indignantly. "I chose to come back. Loretta was here. I couldn't leave her."
"Aw," said Eleanor. "That's so romantic."
Cornelius looked suddenly pensive.
"I was with her when the time came."
"How did she die?" Fiona asked. If Loretta had just had a child when Cornelius met her, that would make her 160-ish. A witch could easily live that long. Cornelius shook his head.
"Festus came for her one night. Loretta had been fighting him for a while. He'd been turning people left and right. Thought vampires were meant to rule over mortals."
A haunted look came over Cornelius.
"I saw the whole thing. There was nothing I could do."
"That must have been awful."
"Will someone please fill me in?" snapped Bellamy. Eleanor silenced him with a look.
"The vampire fed, then left her there to die. Loretta was in bad shape, and I could see she was suffering. I said, 'Go on then, darling. We can be together again.' But she wouldn't do it. Said she had to be sure her daughter's daughter had a daughter so she could protect Mount Shadow from Festus and his ilk. I told her to go on. I'd stay back and make sure that no evil would ever be allowed to take root here again."
Fiona swallowed. She'd known her grandmother had had her mother later in life, probably due to the fact that it was often hard for witches to conceive.
"And that's why you're here?" Fiona asked.
Cornelius nodded.
"Well, I hate to burst your bubble, but no evil is trying to take root in Mountain Shadow."
"Unless you count all the hipsters with man buns," Eleanor muttered.
Cornelius mouthed, "man buns," but Fiona brushed this aside.
"I don't mean to be rude. It's been really interesting hearing your story, but you can move on now. Elle and I might be selling this place, and..."
"Yeah, well, that's what I want to talk to you about."
Cornelius looked from one sister to the other.
"You can't sell Loretta's house. I made her a promise, and I'm a man of me word."
"And you kept your promise," said Fiona. "You passed along the message. Now you can rest. We'll make sure no vampire cowboys take over Mountain Shadow ever again."
"Right, well, here's the rub."
Cornelius put his hands together, looking as though he were struggling to find the right words.
"You can't sell the house. The house must stay in the family. Those were Loretta's wishes."
Fiona rolled her eyes. First Graham and her will. Now there was a ghost there to speak on behalf of their great-great-grandmother. She glanced at Eleanor. They hadn't had a chance to discuss it since she'd stormed out, but Fiona had made up her mind. "We're selling."
"Fee?"
Fiona held up a hand to stop her sister. They could talk about this more when they didn't have Bellamy and a ghost to contend with. Cornelius grimaced.
"I just can't allow that."
Fiona crossed her arms over her chest. This guy had some nerve. Cornelius sucked in a hiss through his teeth.
"Thing is, I made a promise, and I can't pass on till that promise is fulfilled."
He paused.
"I'm prepared to chase away every mortal who comes to look at your place until you agree that a direct descendant of the Marsh family will stay here. Forever."